Sometimes it seems like a lot of American foreign policy these days, everything from Joe Biden's newly announced tariffs to the CHIPS Act to President Trump's tariffs and a lot of what Republicans are aiming to do in Congress and if they get back to the White House, a lot of that seems to be aimed at countering China or responding to a threat from China. But as my guest today will argue, China's economic facade seems to be cracking all on its own. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bang with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. My guest today is Samuel Gregg. He's the Friedrich Hayek Chair in Economics and Economic History at the American Institute for Economic Research. That's AIER. You can find his work at AIER.org. And he's the author of an essay, a recent essay, making exactly this point, that China's economic facade is cracking. Sam, been a big fan of your work for a long time. Glad to have you here on the show for the first time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's good to be with you.
It's fantastic to have you here. Why does China's, China's obviously tremendous economic growth in the last few decades. I think it's understandable why a lot of American policymakers are to varying degrees concerned or worried about what that means for the United States and the world. But you've got a different perspective. Tell us.
Yeah, so as you say, China is the subject that seems to be driving a lot of the drift to economic nationalism that we see across the left and the right in the United States today. And my fear is that many of the policies that are being proposed across the political spectrum to address the rise of China, they seem to be focused upon this idea that China is somehow going to overtake the United States economically and as a global power. And I think if you look very carefully at what's going on in the Chinese economy, this is simply a false set of principles to be operating by. So we could start with things like the demographic problem, serious demographic problem that China now has, a self-inflicted one, I might add. But because of the one-child policy pursued between 1980 and 2016, China now has the European upside-down demographic pyramid problem, right, whereby you have an increasingly elderly population and a shrinking pool of younger people. Now, that creates problems for spending choices, whether it's on pensions, welfare, all the things that happen when you have an elderly population. And in the case of China, this means that it's going to consume a lot more capital than would otherwise be spent on things like infrastructure, R&D, and of course, defense. So now we see the Chinese Communist Party is telling people, now you need to have three children each. Now, the problem, of course, is that demographic changes are very difficult to reverse once they get into place. So I think that's one big problem. It's also the case that China is employing a lot of interventionism across the economy. And you mentioned in your remarks that China has obviously grown immensely over the past few decades. But that growth has primarily come because China engaged in a selective liberalization of parts of its society and parts of its country, really from 1979 onwards, up until around about 2008, 2009. China's reversed that. Now they're using a lot of industrial policy. The government is playing a major role in directing investment. Its Belt and Road Initiative has consumed trillions of dollars. And we know that this is having some severe effects upon the growth prospects of the Chinese economy, whether it comes to things like the fact that all these state-owned businesses are so much more inefficient than privately owned ones. This, I think, this extensive use of industrial policy, the shift back to the state, the resumption of more state direct control of big businesses and small businesses comes with all the problems that readers of Reason magazine already know come along with those types of policies. And there's no reason to assume that China won't experience the same difficulties as any other economy that goes. Again, I worry that American policymakers are framing policy, be it trade policy or foreign policy or defense policy, vis-a-vis China. They're doing it in a way that's addressing a mirage, a myth that we have about China in our heads. And that is always a mistake.
Yeah, we are responding to the imagined threat rather than the reality on the ground. We're talking with Samuel Gregg. He is the chair of economics and economic history at the American Institute for Economic Research, talking about his recent essay on how China's economic facade seems to be cracking. Sam, not a lot of time left here, but I do want to pivot back domestically. And I find some sort of there's something poetic about the fact that the one-child policy in particular, which you already talked about, is so critical and so central to China's, some of these economic problems that are baked into China, because that was a centrally planned authoritarian policy, right? And now the consequences of it, obviously, different than how they were intended originally. Is there a lesson there? And I assume there is for American policymakers.
Yes, because America has its own demographic problem. We are not replicating ourselves fast enough. Our birth rate is below the 2.1 children per woman. That is the replacement rate for any society. Now, we've managed to avoid a lot of that in terms of the negative consequences as a consequence of immigration. Immigration is what has enabled America up to this point to avoid some of these problems. But as you and all your readers and listeners know, we're trapped in a type of immigration box right now, whereby neither side of politics is interested, as far as I can tell, at reforming immigration policy in a way that allows it to contribute to the growth of the American economy, and that also takes care of those legitimate national security concerns that a lot of Americans have. Neither side of politics is serious about trying to deal with this problem. And so to that extent, yes, immigration is helping us to deal with our own demographic challenges, but our immigration policy is such a mess that I don't think that it's currently structured in the most optimal way that would help us to even to overcome our demographic challenges in an even more efficient and effective way.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We'll have to leave it there because we're out of time. But I think the other thing, when you're looking at which economy is the stronger one, I think you look at how many people are leaving China and how many people are trying to get into the United States. You know, if the flow was reversed, I would be more worried about China than I am. And again, we're out of time, but I think there's something there worth thinking about. Sam Gregg from the American Institute for Economic Research, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
And again, that's Samuel Gregg. He is the Friedrich Hayek Chair for Economics and Economic History at the American Institute for Economic Research. Find their work online at AIER.org, including his recent essay on how China's economic facade seems to be cracking. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Baim. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.